MZTV.
Yes, I realize I still owe you part two of the so-called Unforgivable Sin. I haven't forgotten that. I did part one many, many moons ago. No, actually, maybe 3 weeks ago. I still have to talk about the Aeonian application of that sin. That sin is not eternal. It's Aeonian. It's a translation issue. I'll get back to that. You'll see. I promise you. But today, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. There's a wonderfully crafted yet subtly presented truth confirming that Jesus Christ died for all and that everyone is now saved. Not everyone realizes they have been saved. They come to a realization of the truth eventually if God gives them the faith, but nevertheless, the whole human race has been delivered from their thraldom to Adam. Oh, that guy. Do you realize we're going to see Adam at the great white throne? Look, Adam won't see the light of day until the great white throne. Is he an Israelite? No. Is he a member of the body of Christ? Hardly. We'll see him at the great white throne. It's like, oh my God, look, there's Adam. That's the guy. He'll walk up, it's like, hey guys, don't give me that hey guy. Don't give me that. Anyway, this is Martin Zender, and we're beginning another week of MZTV. Oh, before we get right to it, which doesn't make sense. Before we get right to it, I want you to click on the link below. Yesterday, we published, Rodney Paris and I published another epic. It's called The Unknown Passage of Paul. This is going to satisfy those of you who want to see your enemies get what's coming to them. You want to see a little justice served. You want to see people come to the realization that they didn't treat you well. And that they should be ashamed of themselves. And this doesn't sound likely to happen because, oh, aren't we all about grace and we're going to forgive our enemies? Well, we do. But God says through Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 30 or 31, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You remember how Joseph, being in Egypt, his brothers come for food. He recognizes them. They don't recognize him. Instead of just revealing himself to them and hugging them and giving them all the riches of Egypt, what does he do? He tortures them for 3 or 4 months, just agonizes them. I mean, he doesn't strap them down on a rack. He just kind of vexes them, right? Puts the cup in their sack of grain, then sends the army after them, accusing them of stealing it, then sends them back to bring their younger brother, which they know will just be a terrible thing for their father. Anyway, he brings them through this extended period of twisting the screws a little bit. That's going to happen for your enemies. That is going to happen for your enemies. So we rarely think this way, but Paul does. Paul does. And I'm going to bring those passages out to you in this video. I recorded that in 2005. Rodney has put some excellent video and some text frames to it. So go there and revel in the truth. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to want to see your enemies get what's coming to you. It's a Paul thing. It really is. You'll see when you watch that video. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For the love of Christ, I'm in verse 14. For the love of Christ is constraining us, judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. First of all, the love of Christ. I've been talking about the Christians who believe in eternal torment. What does the love of Christ do for them? Nothing. Zilch. Zero. Nada. Because, again, they consider the heinous doctrine of eternal torment to be a part of the love of God and the love of Christ. Yet we are spiritually attuned. So the love of Christ, which is shed abroad in our hearts, is constraining us. That is, it is forcing us. It is boxing us into a corner where we can only say this. The love of Christ is constraining us. In what way? Judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. So the love of Christ doesn't condemn most of the human race. it illuminates for us the truth that Jesus Christ died for all. And if that's the case, then consequently all died. Martin, that sounds terrible. Jesus Christ died for all. So all died? Shouldn't it say all are living? Well, let me give you an important corroborating verse. Maybe it's not a corroborating verse because it's a joining verse. This verse I'm going to show you in Romans 6. When you marry it to this verse, you have a beautiful union. And this beautiful union has children. And the children gallivant and play on the spiritual playgrounds of mature revelation. And I'm going to do that for you right now. Don't be afraid. Romans 6, verse 7. One who dies has been justified from sin. There you go. One who dies has been justified from sin. Let's watch the union between these two verses. If one died for the sake of all, which that is what happened, consequently all died. Ooh, turn the page. One who dies has been justified from sin. Ladies and gentlemen, this is nothing less than the death of the old humanity. When Paul in Romans 6 talks about the death of the old humanity, notice the phraseology there. It's not the death of believers. It's not the death of those who profess their loyalty to God and their love for Christ. No, it's the death of the old humanity. Now let me ask you this. Who is exempt from the old humanity? Who's exempt from Adam? Because Adam is the head of the old humanity, just like Jesus Christ is the head of the new humanity. Who's exempt? You know who. No one. No one is exempt. Good for them. Jesus Christ came to die for the sins of the world for the sake of the people who sin. It's not that he's so interested in the sin, we're going to die for the sin. It's kind of like a figure of speech known as figure of association, where we put sin for the people who sin. He didn't die for an abstract concept. He didn't die for a crime. He died for the people who commit the crimes. And if one died for the sake of all died. And he who dies has been justified from sin. Therefore, today, every human being is justified from sin. However, those who do not get this revelation do not know that they are justified from sin. And so they're living in the old humanity. And God really doesn't mean to, I mean, he doesn't want to introduce this truth to Israel. They still have to go through the kingdom. They still have to fulfill the promises. And even in the kingdom, Israelites will not realize the truth of justification. Even in the kingdom, the 1,000 years, Israel will still be operating under the old humanity. Even though the old humanity has been done away, God has to fulfill his ancient promises to Israel. So it's not that they're a new creation. It's just that the old humanity is reformed. The old humanity is now invigorated by Christ and God putting their spirit on the Israelites to cause them to do the law. They're still doing the law. That's the strange thing. The law shall go forth from Zion. So Israel's still doing the law. Not even in the kingdom are they entering justification, which tells you how great we have it, because we have entered it a long time ago. Israel will eventually get that revelation, that justification. They don't even know what it is. Christians don't know what justification is. Christians are wannabe Israelites, and as wannabe Israelites, they are just as ignorant as Israelites. It's perfect. I teach that most of the Christians are probably remnants of the 10 tribes, the lost 10 tribes, so-called, who were exiled in the Assyrian captivity but never returned to Jerusalem, unlike those who were exiled out of Jerusalem to Babylon. They returned 70 years later. But these other people who were taken into captivity to Assyria never came back to Samaria, where they had set up the competing house of Israel, house of Judah. Anyway, they're wandering around today, and they're probably Israelites. They're probably Israelites. But then they act like Israelites too. They're stiff-necked. They're hard-hearted. They don't yet realize who their Savior is. They pose as Christians. They call themselves Christians. They don't know the true Jesus. They use Jesus for their own advantage. Jesus is my co-pilot. Really? Jesus Christ. If Jesus is your co-pilot, you better change seats. But forget about it. They're still struggling in the flesh. But most of humanity being ignorant of this truth doesn't change the truth. One died for the sake of all, consequently all died. Remember? Justification, the truths thereof. Romans 3, 21, 22. It's for all but on all who are believing. Let me read that passage. This justification, it's for all. It has been done for all. One died for the sake of all, consequently all died. He who dies is justified from sin. Oh, this produces very nice, wonderful, obedient children. And when we get to Romans 3, verse 21, yet now apart from law, righteousness of God is manifested, being tested, being attested by the law and the prophets, yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. This righteousness of God ties in with justification. Justification is being given the righteousness of God, being considered to be as righteous as God. You are considered to be as righteous as God. So why are you moping around in your sins? Just believe the truth. But here's the point I'm making. It's for all, but it's only on all who are believing. Belief, you see, doesn't kick in this marvelous truth. Your belief is irrelevant when it comes to Jesus Christ died. One died for the sake of all. And the love of Christ is constraining me to say this. What else could the love of Christ do but justify everyone, but save everyone from the old creation in Adam? It's constraining me. I have to say it. I didn't invent it. But the Spirit of God causes me to understand the love of Christ. It paints me into a corner where the only thing I can say is that one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. It's not like, well, one died for the sake of all, consequently only a few of them come ever to believe it, and so the rest of them go to hell for eternity. No, that's not what the love of Christ is constraining me to say. One died for the sake of all. Yeah, Christians will admit that much, but they won't get to the second part ever. Well, not in this life anyway. One died for the sake of all, consequently. Based on the intention of Christ to do something, it was done. Consequently, all died. He took the whole human race down there. He who dies has been justified from sin. Too bad these people don't know anything about it. But we do. See, this truth of justification and getting the righteousness of God, the sheen of the righteousness of God upon you, where God looks at you and says, I got no problem with you. Well, he has no problem with the world right now. I mean, I'm going to go on in 2 Corinthians 5, maybe not today, but it goes on to say that God is not reckoning the sins of the world to them right now. He's not reckoning them to them because of this. It's called the conciliation, that God is at peace with the world. 2 Corinthians 5 goes into that truth. I'm going to get into that with you tomorrow. When's part 2 of the unforgivable, so-called unforgivable sin coming? Not sure about that. I'm too into this right now. Don't bother me with that right now. Sorry, nothing personal. Just like I usually get off track. My train is perched precariously on the one track that I'm on and can easily go off on another rail and end up, I don't know, crashing into a field or something. So let's keep on here. I love this truth. I want to tell everybody about it, and I do. I broadcast this truth. Very few receive this truth. It's not given to them to receive it. But there it is, 2 Corinthians 5. And let's finish that thought. For the love of Christ is constraining us, judging this, that if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. What do you know? He succeeded in what he intended to do, dying for all. Consequently, all died. That's not good news. I mean, that's not bad news. It's good news, as we read in Romans 6, 7, and he died for the sake of all, that those who are living should by no means still be living to themselves, but to the one dying and being roused for their sakes. Oh, why did I open this can of worms? All right, where am I on time? All right. He died for the sake of all. It's completed. It's successful. It was accomplished. That's what he said on the cross. It's finished. Christians say, now what, why isn't we still have to do our part? Quit taking away our part, Jesus. What do you mean it's finished? Your part's finished. Our part's just beginning. Your part didn't get the job done. Made it possible for us to do our part, which is the most important part. Admit it, Jesus. Admit it. Why'd you have to confuse people by saying it's finished? What you should have said, it's nearly finished. It's just about finished. My part is finished. Couldn't you have said that on the cross? Would have been much easier. Would have accommodated our false belief. It's nearly finished. My part's finished. That's what you should have said, Jesus. My part's finished. Now it's up to you. Your part completes the deal. My part plus your part equals a completed salvation deal. That's right. They believe that Jesus' part of the salvation equation plus nothing equals nothing. But Jesus' part plus the Christian contribution plus the epic exercise of the free will, that's what does the job. Let's review. The sacrifice of Christ plus nothing. To us, the sacrifice of Christ for the sake of all. One died for the sake of all. Consequently, all died. He who dies has been justified from sin. The sacrifice of Christ plus nothing equals salvation for the world. The sacrifice of Christ doesn't need any addition. Certainly not human contribution. The sacrifice of Christ plus nothing equals everything. The sacrifice of Christ plus nothing equals everything. That's not the Christian teaching. Oh, no, 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 my friends. The Christian teaching is the sacrifice of Christ plus nothing equals nothing. No one's saved after the sacrifice of Christ. We're all still on probation. We're born doomed to hell. As soon as you're born, you're doomed to hell. Hello, little baby. You're doomed to hell right now. Hopefully, you'll make the right decision sometime in your life. But I thought Jesus Christ died for the sake of all. Shut it. It was nearly finished, you see. Jesus was misquoted on the cross. My part is finished, is what he meant to say. So he died for the sake of all, that those who are living, that's us, those who are living, should by no means still be living to themselves, but to the one dying and being roused for their sakes. In other words, we forsake our flesh completely. We look away from the things we still do that are wrong because God has declared us just through the faith of Jesus Christ. We're those who are living, those who are living. We don't have to slave anymore toward ourselves, but to the one dying and being roused for our sakes, which was a completed work and a successful work. So we just have to be occupied, be preoccupied with him. Aren't you worried about your sins? No. No, I'm not. I'm not worried about my sins. And at least I never worry about my sins. Don't worry about your sins. How can you say that, Martin? Because Paul says don't worry about anything. Philippians 4, 6. That's all I got to say about that. So we're the ones who are living. And we should, because we're living, that is, because God has given us enough spirit to bring us to a realization of this truth, we're no longer living to ourselves. We've turned our back on our flesh. We don't consider ourselves according to the flesh anymore. Going to get to that tomorrow. But these poor people who are not living, that is, they're still dying. We're still dying physically, but we reckoned our old humanity to be dead, and now we're living in the newness of life. But these poor people are still slaving for their own flesh. Therefore, as a corollary to that, they are not living to the one dying and being roused for their sakes. They have no idea this is happening, these unbelievers, i.e. Christians, but they're actually living to themselves still. I got to work up the faith. I got to work up the faith. I got to be good. I got to be good. In the meantime, Jesus is over there going, I did everything. It was finished. Now, that was a misquote. Your part was finished. That's what you meant to say. All the versions got it wrong. Your part was finished. Thank God that we are living. Thank God that he has given us a dose of the Spirit sufficient enough to believe these epic truths. Someday everyone will believe it. And then they'll say, wow, I could have had a V8. Wow, I could have known about justification. I could have known that I was actually righteous before God. Nobody told me. It's not my fault you didn't tune into MCTV.